One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Yo, thanks for coming back to the show. I'm Ryan. With me is Dave and Bobby.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Oh, man. Valentine's Day. You guys have a good one?
That's one of those fake made-up holidays.
Yeah. Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, so I have a rule with my wife, which is that we don't celebrate Valentine's Day, but we celebrate a day like it just on another random day where we're not going to pay exorbitant prices for flowers or whatever.
See, okay, I can get behind that. But yeah. What I don't like is the guys who suddenly they towed out the, I mean, Dave was kidding, but they towed out the stupid fake made up holiday day. You know, it's a day to appreciate your significant other. And I get it. We're not actually worshiping Cupid. You get that, right? And I like it because, you know, they're that's the stupid made up holiday when there's nothing in it for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're no problem celebrating the actual day that God used magic to put a baby in Mary. By decorating a tree.
Right.
And let's not forget the day that we celebrate the Irish sorcerer using his trickery to banish snakes from Ireland.
Well, that guy was good.
By getting wasted, though. Yeah. So that, never
well,
mind.
Well, to be fair, that is what he would have wanted. But
never mind that I'm a Polish guy living in Arizona. I need to celebrate this by getting fucking wasted on Guinness. What's that? We're out of Guinness? Oh, fuck it. Give me a Corona. I don't get
it. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. The arbitrariness of holidays is a funny thing to point out. There's like a few that have a legitimate, like if you were to say 4th of July, all right, that's a date where something happened. We're celebrating it. I'll give you that one. You bring up Christmas. That's a great one. Christmas, even if you are a Bible-believing Christian, you are a literal Ken Ham, believe every word of the Bible Christian, you would know Christmas didn't happen in the winter. They talk about bringing the sheep in and all this, and the sheep are still in the fields. It happened in the springtime. All that happened is later on when Constantine adopted Christianity as part of the official religion of the Roman Empire, he absorbed all of these like pagan holidays that happened to be on that date near the solstice. And he's like, oh, let's just use this and we'll just call this Jesus's day.
Well,
Bobby, your war on Christmas is really good.
Me and Starbucks fighting together.
Oh, man. Anyone that thinks there's a war on Christmas hasn't been to CVS in October.
Right.
If there's a war on Christmas, Christmas is fucking winning.
And you brought up a good point on, St. Patrick's Day. The same thing could be argued for most holidays. Like, right? Most of them would be that arbitrary thing. It's about, you know, expressing love. Now, we do it our way. Strictly for convenience and cost reasons. You know, fuck the 14th. It's easier to do it on a Friday night. And screw this whole, like, try to buy flowers when they go up 300% in the market. I try and buy my wife flowers, like, 4 or 5 times a year just on random days.
Isn't that the best feeling?
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Do that, fellas. I mean, I don't care if you think, oh, flowers are just a waste. Just fucking do it. Watch when you say, this is for no reason. Watch your eyes light up, and that's worth it. But you know what, Bobby? My favorite holiday, as you know, is the one where we dress up as, a pumpkin and Elmo to try and trick ghosts that this is still the afterlife. So I like that
one. And then we lure kids to our front door with candy.
So what kind of dick would I be if it's like, well, not the one where I show Aaron how much I care. That one, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not a huge fan of Valentine's Day just because, like, I feel like if you're in a relationship, you kind of appreciate each other all the time.
Well, okay, but most of the guys that say, I'm not celebrating that stupid made-up holiday, they don't show appreciation anyway.
Like, and that's the thing.
The rest of the fucking time.
You have to, if you are going to say, fuck Valentine's Day, we're eschewing this thing, you have to then compensate by doing it other times of the year. And I'm going to add to this, Ryan, not only do you give them flowers 4 times a year, at least 2 of those times.
4? Amateur.
Yeah. At least 2 of those times. You send it to the office. Because let me tell you, flowers at home is good. Flowers at the office where the other girls can see and non-Valentine's Day. They're like, what is it? Is it your birthday anniversary? No, he just loves me.
And you know what? Yeah. Oh, that. All that's all encompassing. And let me tell you something. Let's, even if you think it's a stupid holiday, let's be the guy who all her girlfriends are jealous of that she has. Let's be that guy.
Right.
Let's not make your lady the one that has to see everyone get these flowers and chocolates. And when everyone's going, you're so lucky, and they chime in, well, I'm lucky too, because we have decided that we are not going to facilitate this stupid made up. Shut up, Becky.
That's a fair point. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's do that.
It's similar to if you're going to propose, do it right. Like, Ryan, you had a big party. You did your proposal, sure. right? I planned my proposal for months. It was a huge deal. I did it in the middle of the Reuben H. Fleet Dome Theater.
Well, you don't like the classic proposal. You knock someone up and then like, I guess we're doing this.
I guess we're getting married. But
Dave slipped the ring in a Carl's Jr. breakfast burger. And said,
that's one of those things where it's like, fuck Valentine's Day. You get to redo that next year. If you do it right, you only get to propose once.
Right.
And if you want to really make it, she's going to be telling this story for years. Like, yeah. This is going to be, every time one of her friends gets engaged, that reminds me back when Ryan did this, right? You don't want, like, that reminds me of the time we were wasted at 12:30 at the Taco Bell drive-thru, and he turned to me and said, I guess we should get hitched.
Yeah. Yeah. Let her have a comparable story with her girlfriends, man. You don't want someone like, oh my God, there was violins, was flowers everywhere. What about your husband?
Even if you have
don't
to
make
take,
her sigh.
You can get away with taking a Valentine's Day off without a mutual agreement. You could get away with that, you know, if you make up for the next year. You cannot get away with the bad engagement.
And I know that most guys are saying right now, like, well, my girlfriend even said, don't get me anything.
Right.
Don't, it's stupid. We're not, you know, that's fine.
That's the biggest trap in the world.
Well, we have that, and it's
General
real.
Akbar popped right. up. It's a trap. No, well, even if it's
it was
not.
An admiral, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't realize he was in the Navy, not the Army, in space. Of course she's going to say, don't get me anything. It's her job to say that.
Yeah.
It's your job to go, nonsense, you're worth it. That's what your job is.
I'll tell you a really good one, too. I did this one a few years ago, and it went over real well. You do the whole nine yards, the Valentine's Day, the flowers, at the office, the day out and stuff. You do that the week before Valentine's Day. Because I'll tell you what, the week after, you've done something wrong and missed the day. The week before, you couldn't contain your love. That's the difference.
How about this? All right, if you really don't want to give Big Flower your money or whatever it is, and you don't want Hallmark to get your heart in $3, do this next year. Sit down at the table the night before with a pen and paper and write her a really nice letter.
Yeah.
Handwritten, no fucking email. Write it out. Just tell her how great she is.
And then at the bottom, do you like me with two boxes? Yes, no.
And then on the other side, your manifesto. But just give her a handwritten letter that didn't cost you a thing, but your time. And then in a few years of doing this every year, I guarantee you, you're going to find a shoebox containing all those fucking letters. Or look at her underwear drawer. She has kept those fucking things. It meant that much. If you find it in the trash, fuck her. She doesn't deserve flowers either.
I got a funny story about this, actually. So a few years ago, back when I was single, Valentine's Day is obviously the single day's single guy's heaven. Because you go out to a bar or whatever, you have a very good shot. You got
good
odds.
I cleaned up like a fucking janitor on fucking
Valentine's Day.
Day
should be called single guy's day. But
should be called like Wolf at the bar. So feeling lonely.
I was talking, it was like 2 days before Valentine's Day, I don't know, maybe 9 years ago, and I was at a bar and I had just met this dude. He happened to sit down next to the bar with me, and we were chatting, and I was talking. I was like, I'm so excited because Valentine's Day is coming up. And he's like, what do you mean? I gave him my whole philosophy. This is a great date.
They ended up dating for about 4 months.
I was like, you end up picking up women really easily. It's really fun. Everybody's kind of loose, and it's a more fun atmosphere. It's a great day. It's one of my favorite days of the year. And he goes, I know what you mean, because last year there was this girl that I had liked for years and years and years.
And I drugged her.
Close. This is almost worse.
Oh, my. Sorry to step on your story.
He goes, I had liked her for years and years and years, but we were only just friends, and I couldn't tell if she liked me back. So I decided like that Valentine's Day was the day. And I was like, oh, wow. So did you like ask her out? He's like, I proposed. Proposed to a girl he wasn't dating, didn't have any kind of romantic relationship with him in public.
Oh,
wow.
I'd be sitting there, I'd be like, I'm guessing she's not here
now. Oh, yeah. Then he proceeded to explain how she really unfairly turned him down.
She launched a pretty, she had a pretty mean lawyer.
Right.
She had a pretty unfair restraining order filed against
me. So the guy continued the story. So yeah, it's become a tradition as he pulled the new engagement ring out of his pocket.
Oh,
he's like, it just got legal in California. What do you say?
Oh, boy. That's frightening.
I know. I'm like, you know what's the problem? That's like somebody just overshooting. I think of that as like a drug overdose. Like, you know, you can go out and have a little bit of cocaine and have a great time, but then somebody wants to take it too far and overdose, ruin it for everybody else.
What is the story with these people? If you go on YouTube and see bad proposals, you're going to see a lot of guys getting turned down at like a basketball game, center court. Yeah, yeah. Brutal. Sometimes the mascot comes over and like comforts them. What is the... First of all, what's going on there? I got another story. Was that a kind of thing where they didn't know him or whatever it is? And no matter what, if it's me and some rando proposes to me in the middle of the fucking civic center, I'm saying, yeah, sure, great, thanks. And then after we're away from all the cameras... Dude, what the fuck is this?
But that's what's so fucking unfair about it is like the woman almost feels like she has to say yes.
Yeah.
Just to not.
Right. It's, you got to talk about that beforehand. That has to be established. You know, you have to have some marriage talks before you suddenly start trying to spring
like,
it on
them. The Jumbotron, I think, is the most cliched proposal.
Yeah. But it could be. So here's the thing. You always got to give somebody credit. It could be that he and his girlfriend were at a game before. They had talked about marriage a bunch. She looked and said, isn't that romantic? I would love to be proposed that way. If that's the case, go for it. That sounds like something she wants. Otherwise, try and take the public aspect. Like I said, I did mine in the... I had actually just performed back-to-back shows at the Reuben H. Fleet Dome Theater, which is great. Holds 400 people. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and it allowed me to sneak a cameraman in, because I was like, oh, he's taking pictures for the promotions for the next year's flyers. I did the back-to-back shows, and then I told her beforehand, hey, dress up, because you might be caught in some of these pictures that we're taking for promotions, and then come sit front and center after everybody leaves, so it'll look like there's somebody in the audience, but in reality, it was just me and her. So if we had discussed it, I knew she was going to say yes, but if she had decided she wanted to say no, or I don't know, or whatever, there was no public pressure on her to do it.
Right, that's an unfair coercion tool that guys use. If they do it in public, the chick is most likely not going to say no.
I told Aaron, I have your daughter tied up in the other room and being watched by a man with no conscience.
Right. Well, I think... I was
free that night, so I had nothing better to do.
I honestly think a lot of those rejected proposals, it's not the dude that I met at the bar. It's not the dude who randomly proposes. It's the guy who's in a relationship he knows is slipping away. I think a lot of times it's the guy who's like, oh my God, she doesn't like me anymore. She's looking elsewhere. This isn't working anymore. What do I do? Hail Mary, Hail Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much like the marriage will fix something and having a baby will really solve this.
Absolutely.
I've seen so many people that I respect or at least I thought I did, you know, that I liked and were friends. And like, for instance, I had a friend that said like, I'm getting divorced from this guy that I just married, you know, last month. I'm like, that soon? Why? Like, well, things were never good, but we thought a marriage would fix it. Like, I remember just staring at her for 20 minutes. It felt like just like, what?
We famously had a friend that happened to in like 48 hours.
A couple of days.
Yeah. And it is, it's one of those things where you think it will fix your problems. No. Let me tell you, it's going to amplify a lot of your problems, but it'll solidify you together. Same thing with a kid. You think you're having problems now? Try having problems when you guys have to wake up every 2 hours and don't get continuous sleep.
And you know what's even stranger is the guys that are in a good relationship that think marriage will fucking ruin them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it's not going to ruin a good relationship any more than it's going to fix a bad one. You know?
Unless the only reason your relationship is good is because you constantly threaten to leave. If that is the case, marriage will fuck up your relationship. You add lawyers in the mix.
Oh, I mean, emotional terrorism is mainly 90% of my relationship. So anyway, I did some road gigs recently. I was up in Hollywood. I was actually up there for a pitch meeting. I'm just going to finally say this is that I may have an opportunity has kind of fallen in my lap where a studio might be interested in some of my ideas. I don't know where it's going to go.
Woo!
In these things.
Brazzers.
I say give them big boobs.
No. What it is, there's a porn company, and I told them, listen, we're going to label it Hot Wife Catches Husband Cheating with Busty Babe.
Right.
But really, she's going to murder both of them and then turn the weapon on herself. Yeah. This has the realism that porn has been missing. So, anyway.
And then the Golden Globes will nominate it as best comedy. That's how it all works. Yeah.
And Jordan Beale's in the corner like, God damn it. So anyway, I was up there for this meeting and it went well. But while I was up there, I wanted to double dip and jump on some shows. So it's important to know I didn't go up there to do stand-up. But I know a lot of people in the area. I made some calls. I got on some shows. So one of them, my buddy runs a pretty successful bringer show in Hollywood. Now, obviously I don't have to bring, and I'm like doing a unpaid guest pop in.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, it's a bringer show, but you know, come on. If you don't have to bring anyone, it's great. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
Especially because I'm like, all right, I know he puts 15 fucking people on these things
right.
to fill his room, but you know, I'll go up third or fourth. You know, that'll be fine.
Yeah. Get stuck in the middle. It's not a bad spot.
Yeah, it's a great spot on a bringer, especially if you're not bringing anybody. So yeah. I'm like, that's fine. That's fine. I'll be fine. Usually, the reason why his bringers are so successful, he pays a legit headliner to go on them. Sometimes it's unknown guys like me who will pay like $100 to do it. You know, but that sucks for me because I got to wait through 15 comics.
Right.
By the end, they're just fucking not into it.
Oh,
or
done.
Sometimes he gets a name. This particular show, he got Mr. Daryl Philbin from The Office himself, Craig Robinson, to headline a show. He's like, yeah, you're gonna do a show with Craig tonight. I'm like, oh, great. Now I've performed with him before. I was on the Hollywood Improv, and me and my buddy Brian were about to get bumped off the show. Like they kept pushing us back. We were sitting next to Craig at the bar, and right in front of me, the fucking GM goes to Craig. He's like, show's running a little late. He just points to me like I'm not there or like an inanimate object. He goes, we can just cut these two guys off the show, no problem. So it will put
also, you want their wallets? Let me give you your wallets real quick. Give me this.
He almost said faggot. I can see in his face. So you cut these two faggots off.
Ryan saw his opportunity to perform Slipping Away, so he got down on one knee and proposed to the manager.
I had skywriting queued up. So being a very cool guy, Craig Robinson, who was fucked up. This guy likes to party, all right?
Yeah.
It was weird. He was drinking white wine. He was on 19 glasses of it.
Nice.
But he was getting hammered on white wine. But he looked over, he's like, because I even said, I'm like, hey, man, I drove up from San Diego to be here. And he's like, the guy just kind of looked at me like, I don't give a shit. This is Hollywood Improv, you moron. I was like 3 years in. I thought that would make a difference. Like, he's like, I hope you die. But but he's like, Craig was like, he drove up from San Diego. He's like, let these guys do their time, man. Like, they'll wait for me. These guys know, the people in there know I'm here. They'll wait for me. Just let these guys do their time. Really cool move.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Most celebrities do not do that. In fact, it's the opposite. Like, get these retards out of my way. So anyway, that was really cool. So when I saw him this past, and that was about 4, maybe 5 years ago. When I saw him on Saturday, I went up to him. I'm like, hey, man, you probably don't remember, but I'm like, you saved me from getting bumped after I drove up from San Diego. And I tell everyone who will listen about that story. I thought that was really cool of you. It always meant a lot to me. And he is so fucking high. He looked at me like he was looking at Pikachu dance in front of him. And he was like, dude. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay. And walked away. I'm like, damn, he's fucked up.
But I was expecting, damn it, I got bumped from that show because I let you guys on.
Well, I'm cutting you from this one.
Yeah.
So anyways, he was a nice guy.
That is awesome, though. But it's always nice when somebody who doesn't have to and is in a power position goes out of their way to make a less powerful person.
But here's the thing. Like, some people, and I'm sure you guys get this too, are like, ah, it must be so cool. You get to sometimes like meet bigger names and celebrities doing comedy. I go out of my way not to talk to those people because there is a 2 out of 3 chance, I think that's fair numbers, that it'll ruin like your perception of them.
Right.
I mean, it's like 2 out of 3 times, you know, there's a chance they've been having a bad day, they don't want to be pestered, that they're just gonna be like, fuck off, you know? So
they're
like,
gonna lock you in the green room and jerk off in front of you, whatever it is.
And like I told you, once I gave directions to Richard Dreyfuss, and it's like the only time I was ever starstruck, he's like, I'm like, yeah, it's past there, you make it right. I already went there, but past there, make it right. God damn it, do you even know what you're doing? I'm like, shit, if he loses his temper anymore, he's going to ruin Jaws. You can't give that back to me, Dreyfuss!
No, 2 out of 3 is absolutely a fair estimate, because if any of our listeners were to meet us three in real life, guess which 2 of us are assholes? I'm not going to tell you right now. Just, that's a fun little game you can play.
That is a fun game.
But anyway, I did the show, and the thing is, I was telling myself, even though it's a bringer, since I don't have to bring and I'm going up early, it's going to be great. No. Here's the problem with bringers is they are filled with non-comedians who do not know how to behave at a fucking show.
Right.
Yeah. So right before I'm poised to go up, everyone's getting there, and there's this group of just cackling women show up like they're at a bachelorette party.
Right.
It's clear one of them is going up that night. Yeah, I know
because you can tell.
Because they're next to me at the bar, and one of them's like going, "Oh my God, I can't believe you're going to be a famous." And I wish you could have seen my face when that those words entered my skull. And she's like, "Oh my God, do you want to try some jokes out on me? Try some jokes." Like, "Oh no, girl, I got this." I'm sitting
and
there like,
too, like, when you see that person, like, that's what you see so much on the Bringer circuit is like, there's someone who's, I don't know if hobby comic is the right term, but someone who like sort of dabbles in comedy. They're usually the funny person at the office or the funny person in their group of friends. And right. So they think that they're funny to everyone.
Yep.
It's what I've described as the person who has too supportive a friend group. Like way too. If everybody was just a little bit more honest with you, we could get over this much quicker. Otherwise, you're going to continue to come to the fucking open mics for the next 10 years.
And the thing is, like, you know you're in trouble the more excited someone is to be, like, it's their big night at, like, a nothing show.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, when they show up, like, yeah, fucking party. I'm like, dude, you don't do this at all, do you? Like, I want to see bored. I want to see on your cell phone. That's a professional.
Right.
So anyways, they take a table up front, get like bottle service delivered to their table. And that's another thing. When they treat it like it's a big night out at the club instead of, you know, work. And so they're up front and they're doing that thing that supportive, quote unquote, friends do at Bringer shows. Is they are cackling and talking through every single comment. Yep. You know they're going to shut up for this bitch.
Oh, yeah.
But every single person, oh my God, I don't know if they think that like they're being more supportive by not laughing at the other comics. Like, oh, then that way, like, you know, we're cheating on our friend here if we laugh at anyone else.
It's almost like they would be surprised to find out that other people are performing on the show as
well. Oh, yeah, dude. Like, when people were up there, they would stop occasionally and look at the stage like we were interrupting them.
Yeah.
Like, they would just be like, oh, my God, keep it down. You know, because I'm very loud in my act. I was doing one of my bits where I get very loud, and they made it stop. Like, oh, my God, shut up. We're trying to talk about Becky's upcoming wedding.
Now, where were you on the lineup?
Fifth.
So do you then, after seeing them go through four other comedians and do this, has her person gone up yet, or is she coming up after you?
Here? Okay, she's coming up after me.
Okay, so do you take it to them? Like, at that point, do you address them as hecklers?
Here is the...
I would want to. I don't know. Let's see what Ryan
did. Well, because everybody else in the place is probably frustrated, because all those other people, they're there to see their friends. They don't want their friends to be talked through.
Here is the dilemma I had, is that... normally, yes. I'm at the madhouse. I'm at my home club. Yeah. There's some fucking people up front being rude. You guys have seen it personally. I'll get down on one knee and be like, dude, you're in the front row.
Will you marry me?
I see this slipping away.
Yo, my show is really getting away from me here. Big finish. And my closer. But the thing is, in this situation, my buddy in Hollywood, as you can imagine, it's even tougher than here to make a living at comedy.
Yeah.
He does this by running these Bringer shows, right? He pays his rent based on these idiot women coming with eight of their friends, cackling it up and buying wine from the bar he gets a piece of. Now I get put up. I brought one person. My manager came and he decided to pay full price just to support. But like,
then the manager sat with a group of women and was just talking throughout the whole.
Essentially, I brought no one. All right. These group of women are bringing in money for my friend, and he was nice enough to put me up. So he puts me up as a favor just so I can get, you know, do a show while I'm up in Hollywood.
Right.
Didn't need to. I do nothing for him. And now I'm scaring off, you know, his potential bread and butter here. I felt it would have been an uncool move to my friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, also it also sours them from coming back, you know? So I didn't do it that time. What do you guys think? What would you have done?
That is a tough situation because, like, even if you say something and it's funny and the rest of the crowd reacts, you turned off that potential source of revenue for your friend.
Yeah.
And it's tough because, like,
that's $100 towards his next rent sitting at that table.
You want
right
a good
there.
Show, but you also have to make money.
Yeah.
Right. It's a shitty situation to be in as the producer of that show. It's like, yeah you don't want those people at the show as people, but you need their money.
Plus, it's a hard thing. So hindsight's 20/20. We can talk about it all we want afterwards and be like, well, you should have done this. But in the moment, you just do what you think is right.
Yeah.
Right?
And also, I'm doing 10 minutes. I'm like, I don't need seven of it for me going back and forth with this bitch.
But I would argue that it could help your friend because, again, they're not the only people in that club, right? Everybody else brought people too. All those other people are looking at them just the way you are and going like, fuck these chicks. I wish somebody would shut them up. So maybe you're souring the rest of the audience by allowing them to continue doing it.
Well, you know, and also like, from my perspective, if I was running a show and I hadn't seen Dave in a while, he came in from out of town and said, hey, can I be up? And then he gets up and starts, you know, complaining like, this is fucking stupid. Look at these bitches talking through my act. And I'd be like, man, I put you up. Just fucking do your time and get the fuck off. Seriously.
I would want to like throw like one little zinger their way.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I mean, I did. I could have gone after him. Of course I addressed it. I'm a professional.
Right.
But like, you know, I did say like, oh, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you? I'm rude. And then I, you know, went back into my thing, which even then made them go, oh my God, what a prick.
You should have gotten prison rules. You beat up the biggest one and then the rest fall in line.
Yeah, I take that wine bottle out of that ice bucket and just start beating him over the heads with it. Chardonnay fucking everywhere. But you know what I hate most about these kinds of people? And this is one of those things where some comics are like, dude, don't worry about them. Worry about you. Fuck that. No, I like my policy of worrying about everything. I hate that this idiot gets to cross this off her bucket list. I hate it that bringers get to see their name on a marquee at a club sometimes.
Yeah.
I hate that this idiot from Saturday gets to tell everybody they opened for a celebrity, something that takes actual comics a few years to fucking do of hard work, and they brought eight friends and fell up the stairs and get to open for a guy that was on The Office.
Right.
And they get to say that forever.
Yeah.
They pay for these milestones that we have worked for. And it bothers me. It doesn't affect me technically, but it bothers
me. No, the Olympics are going on right now. And this reminds me of something like a long time ago. Bobby, you might remember because you are smart for shit like this. But Gina Davis competed in archery.
Yeah, she was an archer.
And I always thought that was bullshit because like she bought her way in basically.
She didn't
have to sacrifice her life. She was an actress, but now she has all this money where she can afford the best coaches and she can put all the,
still, if she's the best archer, then she has earned that way in regardless of what she did. Now, other people may have worked, may have had harder circumstances, but that's how the Olympics are.
Look, they're all molested by their doctors, so let's not worry about
it. The Olympics are the best person does it. So like if she's the best person, she should get to go.
That's the argument I always get into because I'm always like, she bought her way in. Like, she bought that greatness, and it's just...
No, that would be if she paid somebody money so she didn't have to qualify or something.
She did that.
No, she qualified on the Olympic trial. She made her way up to a certain point. Like, listen, look at every Olympic boxer, every single one, Andre Ward, Rodriguez Jr., all those guys. They all grew up with a father or an uncle or somebody who taught them boxing from the age of three, so they had a huge advantage over every other 17 and 18-year-old
I would love to teach a three-year-old boxing. I would clean house on that kid.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let me put it like this. Let's say that you're the Olympian and you went and you won the silver, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you go over to some guy's house and you see a display case with a gold medal that he bought online.
Yes, that would be where...
And he just has it on display. Like, I fucking hate that you have that. And I have a silver. And God damn it. Like,
I think that's a better analogy. That would frustrate
me. Like, what do you care? Like, I'm not telling people that I fucking earned it. I'm like, you still have it.
It's basically the version of when you're eight in Little League and they take a picture and make a baseball card out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, now, the thing is, what these fingers shows do, which I think is kind of fun sometimes, is they bring some wackos out of the woodwork and give them some fucking solid stage time. Because at an open mic, if you're not a comic and you've never been to an open mic, just go to one to watch. Because you're going to see some fucking what the hell moments.
If you go long enough, you will actually see the universe imploding in on itself. That's how much fucked up shit happens at random open mics.
Here's what you're going to see at an open mic as opposed to one of these bigger shows. You're going to see at least one old guy that just is confused and doesn't know why he can't talk as much as he wants.
Right.
You're going to see one guy that may be homeless. He's always got a notebook. You don't know if it's jokes or his manifesto.
Right.
And then you see there's also a lot of comedy dorks. These guys, you wouldn't be surprised to see them in a comic book shop, but they're also here and they're quoting like Mark Maron, not on stage, but they're at like, you know, Mark Maron started off at open mics too. You know, they know the history of comedy, so they think they have a leg up. A lot of neck beards going on there. But
don't forget just general kind of nutty people that aren't necessarily homeless, but they are definitely not in their right minds, and part of that makes them think they're funny.
Yeah, you will get a one middle-aged hippie chick with a guitar. You know, you're going to see all of it.
A few narcissists who one or two times somebody laughed at something they said, so they believe they're the funniest people.
Oh, yeah. They're all narcissists.
Yeah. So, now at this particular show, the first lady that went up did have a guitar, and I went, oh, boy, I'm going to step outside and smoke. Yeah. And my manager, he texted me while I was outside. He's like, the second guy just came in, went up. Don't just keep smoking. Yeah. He's like, lung cancer would be better than this.
Well, the manager texted Ryan. He's like, hey, I'm bumping you from a roster. I'm going to sign this guitar chick. We had a good run.
So anyways.
There's usually, and this isn't always, but every once in a while you'll get, and this can be one, it's interesting the different gender divides of this particular comic, but the person who comes up and just wants to say something outrageous, right? Yeah. Oh, they've got a whole host of abortion jokes or period jokes or something, and they're going to shock you because you can't handle how real they are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and that's what they're going to say, too. So, anyways, I have some great what-the-fuck moments. This first one, and I know you guys, too, I want to hear yours. This first one, early on, I was being handled by these guys called the McDago crew. Dave, do you remember them?
Yeah.
They were pretty nice guys, clueless about comedy. They just were. I mean, they had backgrounds in construction, and they, one of them was in a band. But anyway, so we were doing a show, a booked show, mind you, at the 710 Beach Club in Pacific Beach, right? So we're standing out there, and this guy Doc, he's like, oh, by the way, I'm a putting this guy, I was at Swap Meet today and met this guy, and turns out he's a stand-up comic. I'm putting him up tonight. I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, old biker guy. You're going to love him. I'm like, all right, Doc, this is very important. When you had this chance encounter with this old biker guy selling, I don't know, nude pens at the Swap Meet, who brought up comedy first? Right. Now, this is important. Did you meet him, and did he offer up, yeah, I'm just selling my wares here, but my real passion is comedy. And you said, hey, really? Well, I'll give you a shot on my show tonight. Or.
It's always the or, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Or
absolutely.
Did you say, hey, man, you should stop by Pacific Beach tonight. I'm running a comedy show. And he went, comedy show? I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
And what a coincidence. And he's like, yeah, second one. I'm like, God damn it.
While you were walking away, did he pull out his phone and Google how to be a comic? Because that's a good sign.
There's once in a rare while, there's actually a third scenario where the guy booking the show is just like so excited that he almost suggests it to the other dude. Like they'll be talking and the other guy happens to be a little funny in conversation.
Yeah.
And the promo will be like, oh my God, do you do comedy? You should try comedy. Run a show tonight. Like, the worst.
It might have been that one, but smash cut to a shitbox car pulling up right in front of me containing a drunk biker in a styrofoam penis hat. It was like a hood like that went over his whole head and crescendoed in a penis. He looked like one of the Goombas from Super Mario Brothers.
He just stole it from a bachelorette party.
And so he's and remember what we said earlier, like the more excited you are to be at a fucking just bar show, the more you've never done this. He was A, drunk, B, maybe on something other than excitement. When that car pulled up and that drunk bastard in his penis hat were sitting in it, he was like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it. I'm a comedian. He gets out of the fucking car like, yeah, professional comedian, coming through. I'm like, oh my God. If you didn't guess, his act consisted of pointing to the hat, making puns about it, then laughing hysterically. I remember his opener. Yeah, name's Bill, Biker Bill. If you can't tell, I'm a huge dick. So that was 8 minutes to 10 minutes. Actually, I think it ran the light to 15.
Wow. We had a lot more dick puns to go.
Yeah, he Googled a lot that
right.
day.
Yeah, very similar one I saw also on a booked show at a club. This guy got on and because he's a bringer. And it was near Halloween. Because he was wearing a costume of the poop emoji. Have you guys seen that costume? Like you see in the costume store on Halloween time. He was wearing that on stage, and same thing. His entire set was 8 minutes of just really, really bad poop puns.
Oh, good.
Like he would just be like, "Hey, want to get a costume, but I just find this crappy one."
Him and Biker Bill are going on tour next year.
Man, looking for a costume all day. I'm pooped.
Oh God.
Yeah. I wanted to get a different costume. This was my number two choice. Oh, like that for 8 minutes.
Costumes.
It was horrible.
Costumes
horrible.
Are the weirdest idea. Too.
Bobby, let this set in. It was horrible.
They're the
Bobby.
Yeah, are you gonna say it wasn't horrible?
Hey, Dave, you're kind of being a huge dick.
It's a weird idea because they think that somehow that visual gag is going to work. I think it's too much of a sitcom. Like, we grew up with sitcoms that trained us that visual gags, you come flying through the door like Kramer dressed weird and people are going to laugh.
Yeah, you're Belky doing the happy dance.
There was one I remember being at the Palace, and I was sitting there, and we had a book show coming up, but the open mic was going beforehand, and the open mic's going, and I just looked through the glass, because the Palace has this room that's glassed off so you can be separate from it, and I looked through the glass, and there's just somebody in a furry costume on stage, like a big furry fox thing, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And you can't hear what's going on from this room, so I was like, I need to figure out what goes on, and I opened the door, and it was dead silence in the audience as everybody was going around. You could, like, hear people checking their phones as this person was...
I'm in the back Googling, how much Drano would it take to kill me?
Yeah, as this person wasn't making jokes, they were just talking on stage while in a costume. And I guess that was, like, some kind of alt comedy joke is...
The alt comedy,
I'm speaking, I'm delivering a speech without necessary jokes... But I'm doing so dressed as a fox.
God damn you, Andy Kaufman.
I know. And I sat there and I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is, I need to see this. Just the same reason that if I was going to die the next day, I'd spend at least an hour staring at the sun. Just like, I want to know what this is like.
Yeah, I remember once I heard this audio from Lady Gaga where she was getting real emotional talking about, you know, Prop 8 had just passed.
Yeah.
And gay people weren't allowed to get married. And she, as you know, like... 90% of her fans are gay people. So she was giving a very emotional speech about how crooked this country is. And my friend was like, I just had the audio. And my friend was like, isn't this fucking powerful? I'm like, yes, but is she dressed like a giant peach or something? Right. Or like maybe a pelican outfit?
Or a meat costume.
Is she in costume while delivering this?
Now, have you guys had any what the fuck moments like happen to you on stage? Here's what I mean. I was at a show. Ryan, you already know this story because I was actually taking over for you at running this show at Pizza Joint. It was a notoriously rough room. Like, we gave it a go. We gave it a go for a little while, tried it again, and it was tough. Like, there would be just a handful of people there for the show, and then there'd be a handful of other bar patrons that didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So we would go, and we would struggle through, but it ended up being worth it overall. You know, you get some stage time. You get to try some bits out. Some people are there to laugh. But the particular night that I was there running the show for you, I was hosting the show, and the audience was exceptionally tough. So I was just trying to do whatever I could to sort of break the room open and try to get people involved. So like after like maybe a couple of comics didn't do very well, I started walking away from the stage area like towards the bar where people were sitting, like trying to engage them. And I said into the mic, I was like, hey guys, remember the Holocaust? And it was like a weird show anyways. And I was trying to set myself up for a joke about shitting on non-Jewish people, about how people try to include themselves. Oh, it wasn't just Jews. It was other people that got killed. So I was trying to go for this like, you know, off-color bit a little bit, just to try to get people engaged. But as soon as I said, you remember the Holocaust? This woman at the bar was like, fuck you. And I was like, oh, and I stopped. And she got up off her stool. She walked over to me and like wanted to fight me. Like she told me, shut the fuck up. She told me she's going to take the mic out of my hand. And all the people in the bar are now just watching this happen. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. This is fucking weird.
So did you Sparta kick her from the top of the stage like we suggested a few weeks ago?
Well, I believe I told...
Well, there was no stage, so it would have been like...
Oh, okay.
It would just been a front snap kick. Yeah. Very solid. I believe I've told this before, I had a crew of comics go up to the Winchester Temecula area, and one of us got attacked on stage by a giant. Wow. Like, it was frightening. Like,
wait, it wasn't a guy in a giant costume?
he was wearing a poop emoji costume and a penis hat. But no, like it was out of nowhere. We don't know what was said to set him off.
Wow.
But this man, okay, so the first time we went up to this place, the Chargers were still in town and they had just won and the bar was full. And after the game got turned off where the Chargers had just won, I went, you guys ready to start the show? And they all went, yeah! And it was the best room ever. So I convinced four other comics, dude, we got to go back to this room. It's fucking magic in there. It's magic. We get back up there. There had been no game that day. It was just sparsely attended. I went, all right, you guys ready to start the show? And like one of them turned around and went, fuck you. And so anyway, I did my opening number. And I handed it off to my friend Larry. And I sat down at the bar. He was maybe half a joke in. And this guy next to me stood up from the bar. He was close to 7 feet. Wow. Older guy, too. But like one of those, like, this guy probably served a few tours. Right. Kind of old guy. Like, still don't want to mess with him. He stands up. I'm 6'1". I have to crane my neck all the way back to look up at him. He brushes past me, runs up, and just tackles the guy and starts teeing off on him. And we had to, like, pull him off. We pull him off the guy. There was no security. He gets up, he goes back to the bar, sits back down, and finishes his fish and chips.
Wow.
He just keeps eating. The whole bar just staring at him. He's like, yeah, fuck you. No one's going to do anything.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a couple of interesting moments that are not quite as sketchy as you guys, but like you guys know, I used to run the Kumite, and it was an open mic that had some sketchy people come by. And there was this one guy who was, I don't know, kind of a comedian. I saw a bunch of open mics, but never really made anybody laugh or anything. Big old arms, had really big arms, big dude, and was a little off in the head. You know those guys you meet where you're like, I don't need a psychiatrist to diagnose there's something going on.
No, you're definitely off.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something going on here. He was one of those dudes, and at one point, the way we ran Kumite was, it was a bucket system. Everybody put their name in a bucket, you draw them at random.
Right.
You would draw the person one set before. So you would start off with somebody. Let's say Dave was coming up. I would go up after the person right before Dave, and I'd be like, okay, you guys know Dave is coming up. We already drew his name. I'd reach in. Okay, next up is Ryan. And that would mean that I would get down, Dave would go up, and then the next time up Ryan would be Ryan. So you had a little bit of buffer, right?
Sure.
So it was one of those scenarios, and let's say the guy, the regular person that was about to go up that I'd already called was named was Jeff, and let's say this other crazy guy's name is Ben. I had gone up, I already pulled Jeff's name, he was about to come up, he was waiting stage side. I went in, reached in, I go, and on deck next will be Ben. And I had about 30 seconds of material as a lead into the next guy. Before I could do it, Ben, who, again, wasn't coming up for another 5 minutes, and even then, I was still in the middle of my intro part, just walks up on stage. Not even on the stairs, like coming to the side and up on stage, just walks at me, then steps up and climbs up on stage, and then as I'm going, well, I think you may have misunderstood, takes the mic from the stand in front of me and then goes right into material as if I'm not there and nothing weird is happening. And I'm sitting there like, this guy's pretty big. He's got huge arms. I don't really want to. He's kind of a weird dude. I don't think I want to make an issue out of this. And so I just kind of like, and just slunked off stage. It's like, wow. Jeff, I'm really sorry.
That's
you're up
next.
That's
how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, man.
So obviously he won.
Yeah, oh, totally. By the way, funniest thing about this guy, he ended up at one of the open mics, he left his notebook at the Kumite. And so Damien and I get it, and we start looking through. And let
all
me just...
All work and no play makes sense.
Yes. Oh, it was so much crazier than that. There were things that we didn't know if they were jokes or appointments. Like one of them was suck dick. 8 to 7. And I went, either that's the basis of a stupid joke, or he's got an incredibly busy dick. 11 hours of dick sucking. 11 hours. And there was a bunch of crazy ass shit and weird drawings in that book. And I remember at one point looking at it.
He's going to travel back in time.
Yeah. It was like the Necronomicon. I was like, something's going to happen if we hold on to this.
I once walked into a club in, it's either South LA or North Orange County. But there was, when I walked in, I was a little late. There was a guy being dragged off by force by three people going, no, no, and like grabbing for the mic, no, no.
I got to say it. No! I got to say it.
It's like a closer.
And I was like, was that part of his act? They're like, no. They're like, he just wouldn't get off. The host went up and like he refused. Like, we don't even know that guy. I'm like,
wow.
Whoa.
just remember.
He had some stuff he really wanted to say.
Just think about it. Here's the barrier for entry for open mics. Can you write your name on a list? That is literally the barrier of entry for open mics.
Yeah, we got to set the bar higher.
Right. So like, you get crazy people. You get homeless people. I've said this before. There's a contingent of homeless people.
Let's do a Rorschach test before you sign your name up. What do you see? Bunch of darkies. Okay, yeah. You're not. I'm sorry.
We got a show for you in the East Village. But no, they had a whole thing where, like, if you think about it, homeless people can just walk in. They don't have to pay for a drink. They can sit in an air-conditioned or heated, depending on the season, environment, and sit down and enjoy themselves, and then shout the craziness that they normally only shout from street corners, but through a microphone.
Sure.
Hell of a draw.
Okay, we got some shows coming up before we call it a week here. I'm going to be at the Main Tap in El Cajon on Friday, February 23rd. On March 1st, this is going to be a great gig. I'm doing the Bay Bridge Brewing for AIDS Lifecycle. It's a charity event. All the proceeds go to a very good cause. March 9th, I'm at the Comedy Palace. That's Friday, March 9th. And remember, everyone, March 15th, all three of us, we're trying to go back to the landing. Guys, let me ask you. I'll say it right now on air. Uh-huh. Should we make this a straightforward stand-up show, or should we just do a live podcast there?
I like the idea of trying to get people there for a stand-up show, but a live podcast would make it easier because we wouldn't have to tape that week. So I'm torn.
Okay,
I'm gonna leave it as a game time decision.
All right. So right now, let me tell you, you're gonna see a snap decision if you show up to the landing on March 15th to see all three of us. We are going to attempt to make it a straightforward stand-up show. We got some very exciting new guys on it. Andrew Tarr, Joshua Krebs, they're going to be on there, plus the three of us. But if it goes sour, we will have this mixing board with us,
right,
and we will just break it out into a live podcast right there on the stage. So, anyway, maybe we'll do that anyway. Who the fuck knows?
Who knows? And then we have something incredibly exciting. It is this week, if you are hearing it. It is this Saturday at Bar Pink during the normal Kumite time. We'll actually start a little bit earlier, around 5:30 to 6 when it starts. But there are some UFC fights this weekend. And Ryan and I, we've been wanting to do this for a very, very long time. We are going to do a play-by-play announcement of the UFC fight. So it is free. There is no admission. Come and see the UFC fights for free. There is super cheap drinks at Bar Pink. So you will come in. You will drink really cheaply. You will get in for free. We will watch the UFC together, only instead of hearing Joe Rogan or Brian Stan or something, it will be me and Ryan doing the play-by-play, probably throwing some dick jokes in between, because we don't have to worry. We're not sitting ringside where the fighters can get pissed at us. We can say what we want.
It's going to be like watching a fight with the MST3K guys. Yeah. Only they know about fighting.
Right. It will be a very, very fun event. I've done one live MMA announcement, which was super fun. I made the mistake of trying to do it myself, which is why I really want Ryan to come and do this one with me, because this will absolutely be a very fun show. It will be something we try and do on a repeated basis, because I think this we need this in the community. If you love MMA and you like to laugh, come on out.
All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
11 hours of dick sucking. 11 hours. Time passing by.
Motherfucking time is passing by.